All right, so here we go.
We're just going to finish up a little piece that I didn't get to last week. We were talking about the Apostles' Creed, and I'm just going to give everybody one of these, and you can turn to the Apostles' Creed on here. You got one? Who doesn't have one yet? We have a textbook that's coming but isn't here yet. This is a photocopy of it. And it contains the Apostles' Creed, Max. Okay, turn to about the second, is it the second page? Yeah. So on the second page, on the far right side, is the Apostles' Creed. This is what we're learning about and this is what we're memorizing. And we're all going to say it together for those who are getting baptized. As a finale to the class, even if you aren't getting baptized, I'll probably get you to come up, and we're going to quote it in front of the entire church in the adult service so that they know what it is we believe. So let's all say it together as a practice. Are you ready? Starting with I believe. Everybody's found it? Yeah, that's it. Okay, you got it, Max? Everybody's got it? Okay, let's practice saying it together on the count of three. One, two, three. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. You know where the phone is? All right. Okay, good job, you guys. Now that's what we're going to try. You don't have to write it down. This is what we're trying to memorize. So one of the things you can do that helps you memorize things is to write it out. So you can practice it at home. You can write it out so that we can all, because we're not going to have these in front of us when we stand up there on the Sunday morning. We want to be able to do it from memory. So we'll keep practicing that. All right. Josiah had a question. He wasn't quite sure what a creed is. Now, just to quickly review, this is called a creed, and it's basically a summary of the Bible. What are the most important things the Bible has to say? It's a summary of those things. So it's taking this whole book, and what is the most important things in here, and putting it into just a short little paragraph like that you can read. Now, some creeds are longer and explain more, but this is about as basic as you can get for something that kind of covers it all. Okay? Everybody okay with that? Does that help Josiah a little bit? Okay. Now, today we're just going to carry on. We were talking about the first statement in there that says, I believe. And we eventually got into the word faith. And what does faith mean? And so today we're just going to finish one last point about faith. Okay, so you can continue it in your book there. Okay, and this is what we want to talk about today. Is can you believe that's okay, just starting over. We talked about it. You can just start with this new title there, bud. Can we believe in something we can't see? So that's the question. So who can tell me what things are out there that we can't see, but you're pretty sure they're real? Air. So air, how do you know air is real? You use it?
Yeah.
How else do you know air is real? What's that? You feel it? Kind of? It's kind of important, isn't it? What would happen if we didn't have air?
We could freeze and
we'd die. We'd die. Yeah. But air is something that obviously we've... Anybody here not believe in air? Is anybody that doesn't believe in it?
It's oxygen.
Now, you've never seen it, right? Yet you're certain that it's real. Okay. What's something else? Yeah?
The Indiana Jones,
the bridge.
Sticker.
Yeah. Yeah, well, supposedly it's real. I don't know. Movies may, I wouldn't believe everything you see in a movie.
Santa?
Santa? Is Santa real? That's a good question. Probably not. There was a real Santa Claus originally. What else is there that we can't see that we know is real?
Wind.
You can feel the effects of wind, but you can't really see it, usually unless it's blowing something, right?
Outer space.
Outer space?
You can't see that.
Yeah.
You can't see sound.
No, you can't. And yet you can hear, and yet sound is traveling from my voice, and you're all hearing it. And you can't see it. Is it real?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What about gravity? Does anybody here not believe in gravity? Then just go jump off a building and see what happens. Hey, gravity is very real. We're pretty sure about it. That's the same with God. Just because we can't see him doesn't mean we can't be certain about that he is real. So write down this verse here. Hebrews 11:1. And when you get it written down, let everybody look it up. Okay? Are you feeling pretty sick, kiddo?
Yeah.
All right. Hebrews 11:1. Find Hebrews 11:1. Okay. If everybody finds it. Everybody remember how to use the table of contents to find Hebrews? We'll get, how would Jesse, would you like to read it to us in a second here when everybody's found it? Okay. Everybody found it? Mac's still working on it, bud? Hebrews is in the New Testament, bud. Sam can help you out a bit there. How you doing? Nikki, would you just help Carson find Hebrews in the table of contents? There you go. Good job. All right. Nope. We're just going to read it first. All right. Verse Hebrews 11, verse 1. Jesse, go ahead and read it to us.
Now faith is being certain of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see.
All right. So write this down. Faith. No, what I'm writing here. Faith is being certain of what we don't see. Okay? So it's actually, there's a level of certainty. It's not just like, wow. Okay, so what it is not, just wishful thinking. It's not just wishful thinking. Okay? So it's not saying, well, I sure hope it's true. It's not like if you entered a draw to win a new car, it's not like, I have the faith I'm going to win. I hope I win. It's actually based on things we can be certain of. And so our faith doesn't have to just be something like, I hope God's real. I hope when I pray he hears me. It can be very based on very real things. And so that's the second point. Faith is based on the facts. Okay? It actually makes more sense to believe in God than to not. When you look at all the facts, okay, what are some of the facts that make it clear there's got to be a God? Who can tell me? Dewey?
Like
nature, creation. Okay? Where did everything come from? Somebody made it. Right? And what we're going to do is we're going to be actually looking at creation today. Yeah?
Miracles.
When miracles happen, it's like, how did that happen? Somebody had to do it. Right? When miracles happen today, who's ever experienced a miracle or heard of somebody getting prayed for and getting healed or seen anything? When God is doing miracles, it's obviously that somebody's behind those. Yeah, what else? Anything else?
The Bible.
The Bible. Yeah, the Bible is a very special book. Exactly. Where did people come from? Okay? God has been involved in history. We can look throughout history and see significant events, especially in the nation of Israel, where God has done things, and they're recorded in history, and we can look back in history in the Bible or in other history books and see what God has done. And of course, we can all have, you know this from the Bible, that we can actually have a personal relationship with God. And as our relationship with him grows, he becomes more and more real to us that way as well. So there's lots of ways, and we're going to be looking at all these ways over the next few weeks, individually. Okay? So I think that basically wraps up our section on faith. Okay? We're going to start moving into these things. What are the facts? Those are some of the things we're going to be looking at in the coming days here. All right? Yes.
My mom has to pick me up at 3.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something coming on that?
We'll try and be done.
Okay.
All right. All right. Now we're starting a whole new section. Okay? I didn't leave myself a whole lot of room here for this section. I'm right smaller or something. Okay, this next section we're going to look at is the Creator. When we read our creed, it says, I believe in the God, the maker of heaven and earth. So one of the things that's really important is that we actually believe in God as the Creator. Now there is definitely something else out there that people believe in where we came from. What's that called? So we start a new page for this one, guys. All right, we're hitting a whole new area. You don't have to, but it'd probably be good to start a new page. I thought you'd written this creator. You can just scribble that out there. Or white out it. All right, creator. We want to start a whole new area. Has anybody not done this yet?
I'm done.
Max, how are you doing, Carson? All right, these guys are getting fast.
Can you write it?
Yeah.
Because
my writing's so bad, is that what you're trying to say? All right, we're looking at the Creator. A whole new section. So the first title for this is What is Evolution? Okay, what is evolution? Who's been taking evolution in school? Anybody yet? Yeah, they don't cover it at all. Has anybody taken evolution yet? Now you think it started in school? You learn a little bit about it?
I had the option yet. Yeah.
Well, I'm just interested in who's been studying that so far. And what? Who knows what evolution is based on? What's the basic idea of evolution? Nikki?
Well, I think that the world was changing and that there was this tree or something that came from the colors and that had these bacteria or something like that. And we were going into like weird things, and that's how creation started.
Yeah, sort of. Anybody else have anything that they know about evolution? Yeah? Yeah, the Big Bang Theory is a part of that. What else?
At school, we're doing First Nations, and some people from the First Nations, they thought that a raven could turn into a man and
The First Nations people have some different ideas on where they have sort of some stories that they, different kinds of stories of how things began. Everybody is trying to figure it out, right? Where did we come from? The major one that science uses is evolution. And this is what evolution is based on. It's a word called mutation. Okay? Now, mutation is when something is born, like if you have a frog, two frogs find each other and they fall in love and they have baby frogs, okay? And instead of a baby frog coming out that looks like its mom and dad, it comes out kind of weird. Maybe it's got an extra arm or extra eyeball or... That's called a mutation.
Okay?
Who doesn't? Oh, yeah. Well, they start out as a tadpole. So they come out a tadpole with two tails. How about that? Something weird. Okay? Something they're not supposed to. Okay, they come out. Anyway, you get the point. They grow into something. That's called a mutation. Okay? And so what evolution says is that over a long period of time, you know, like a snail mutated and turned into a butterfly. Or a caterpillar. Maybe that's a little closer. A caterpillar. You don't have to write this down. I'm just okay. A caterpillar mutated one day and turned into a. Oh boy, I'm not gonna be very good at this. A frog. I don't know how. So a frog mutated and turned into a lizard.
And then it turned into a hippo.
Okay. Maybe there was a fish stage in here. I don't know. Maybe a cat. But anyway, they had this whole series of events. Where things that used to be very simple, very small, they mutated and they produced something else, a whole new creature. Yeah?
The reason it did that because, like, he thinks that there was birds and some birds had smaller beaks and some birds had bigger beaks.
Yeah.
But the bigger beaks the smaller beaks survived better because in the winter they could get down and get food in small places.
Yeah.
But the birds with the big beaks that had a hard time doing that died off. So there was mostly just little beak ones.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly just little beak birds.
Yeah, there's this whole process, and I missed some in here, like from, you don't go from a caterpillar to a frog, I don't think, but caterpillar to maybe like little fishy things, and fishy things turn into bigger fishy things. And it just keeps moving along. You get lizards, and then eventually you get bigger animals, things, and eventually you get to monkeys, and then what comes bears. After monkeys?
Me. Bears.
No, people.
Kiwis.
People.
And
okay? So this is called, that's why it's called evolution. Evolution is evolving from one thing to the next. So now this, if I told you this happened, like we're going to do an experiment and make this happen right now, you'd all say you're crazy. But if I said over billions and billions of years, you'd say, oh, maybe. Okay? So and the reason they base this on is there's lots of similar things. Many of these things have a heart. And so if you start, you have a heart, and you've got lungs, and you've got sort of all the major pieces. That is possible that something mutates, and it kind of, you know, you get a lizard that looks a little bit more like a bird, and then, you know, it just, you know. So that's, honestly, that's the whole evolution theory. So it's based on what's called mutation, and it was originally a theory. Do you know what a theory is? That means it's a guess. It means you don't have any facts, but it's an idea. It's my theory. My theory of who killed Professor Plum in the dark room with a knife was, that's my theory, I'm guessing. Okay? Okay, so this is what evolution is. Now what happened is science got in here and they have tried to make this a real, tried to prove it, tried to make it real. Okay? And so if you haven't encountered it yet, especially in high school, is where you're really going to see a lot of, I mean, the entire science world now absolutely believes in evolution 100% and tries to prove that this is how we came. Now here's some of the problems, okay? We're going to write down next title, leave yourself a little bit of space. Let's look at the problems. Well, guess what? It's still in all the school textbooks. They're still going to teach it like it's real. Okay.
They want their things to stay true, so they don't share it.
That's right. Now, hold on. Don't say that. I'm getting to that. Don't jump ahead of me. Okay. So here we're going to look at what are some of the problems of evolution. So here's the thing. You're going to get taught it if you're in the school. Okay. You're going to run into this. You're going to treat it like, if you go to university, it's even worse. Okay, if you don't believe in evolution and you go to university, you're going to look at it like a freak. I don't believe in evolution.
Especially people who are students and a teacher.
That's right.
Lady,
you have to be able to teach it.
And so She went to school. She wanted to be a Christian teacher, the homeschooling thing. So she's trying to teach, but they're trying to teach her evolution stuff, but she's just... And then she came back, she's like, Mom, I don't want to be a teacher.
You know what, guys? It's actually scary how much they want you to believe in evolution. And we're going to look at some of the reasons why you don't have to. Okay? And actually, if you look at the facts, you're crazy if you believe in evolution. We won't say that yet. But let's look at some of the problems for evolution. Okay? Because when you go into it, and if you go into a class, you don't have to say to the teacher, evolution is wrong because of da-da-da-da-da-da. I mean, you're not going to convince your teacher because they've been taught it, and they're gonna say you're a disruptor in the class, and yada, yada. So, but just so that you know, because there's a lot of Christians that grow up, and they haven't been told this stuff, they go to high school, and they go to university, they think, well, evolution must be true, because all the scientists believe in it, but not all the scientists believe in it, and here's why. First problem is mutation. Okay, let me read to you. This is written by some Christian scientists. I'm going to be referring to this book because I'm not a scientist. It's by Dr. G.S. McLean, Roger Oakland, and Larry McLean. Okay, I actually, one of these guys came to my Bible school when I went for 1 year and did a class. It was very cool. But here is the first thing I want to read from here, from page 124. One second. Okay. Here's what's fact about mutations, okay? 99.99% of the time, so almost 100% of the time, when an animal has a mutation, it brings about harmful and lethal end products. In other words, its life usually gets shortened. If a fish gets born with two tails, it probably can't swim very good. And what's going to happen? Somebody's going to come along and eat that thing because it's swimming funny or it's swimming slow. So when mutations happen, it almost never results in something better. It's always something worse for them when they mutate. Okay, and here's what a former Nobel Peace Prize winner, Albert Zeitz Gorgi, had to say about mutations. So in order to win the Nobel Peace Prize, you have to be very smart and bright. And this is what he had to say about mutations. To improve a living organism by random mutation is like saying you could improve a Swiss Army watch by dropping it and bending one of its wheels or axes. Improving life by random mutation has the probability of zero. So you can't improve anything by mutating. Okay, so that is the major thing the theory is based on, is mutation. A mutation never does anything good for anybody. Okay, and it never changes you to a new species. It gives you some weird thing, but it never makes you a new creature. Right? Okay, so that's the problem with mutation. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, okay, is called the missing links. Okay, how many of you have seen, what's that new show with the aliens versus... Alright, one guy in there was called Missing Link. Okay, a missing link is the links are the links between the species. Like, I can't remember, but lizards and birds, or reptiles and birds, okay, those are creatures that they've linked, like, one of them jumps one way. I forget if it's a lizard becomes a bird or a bird becomes a lizard. Okay? But they have not even one example, live or in the fossil records, of something in between. Something becoming a lizard bird. There's nothing. Zero. That's why they're called missing links. Because they don't exist. Now they have tried to come up with some. They've tried to find some. This is obviously really important. If they can't find this, then their whole theory is wrong, right? So they've tried to find monkeys who are in the process of becoming humans through the fossils.
Why don't they just figure it out first?
Well, and we'll get into that in a minute. Hold on. Well, we just can't get off track because we don't want to get to all the information now. But the problem is that they're missing. Okay, they are missing links, and they just don't have any. And so science is supposed to be based on the facts, and yet evolution, the facts are that there's nothing that links a lizard and a bird together. It doesn't exist.
Oh, that's what I get.
Okay. No, they've had a few. Like, they had one that they found this skull, and they were sure it was a bone from an ape who's becoming a man. So years later, they find out it was the jawbone of a donkey or something. Like, it's crazy stuff. Or they find out, no, this was actually the skull of a person just like you and me. So they've tried to find them, but there should be thousands and hundreds of them. Examples all over, because all life evolved, right? There should be fossils. There should be live specimens today. But we don't have them. Yeah?
They found these footprints that they said were, like, monkeys that were almost human footprints. And they were just regular footprints.
Yeah. Well, it's happening all the time. There's all kinds of things. Because they're trying so hard to find these things. All right? The second problem is it's based on... what's called an old earth. So nobody would believe this if you said the earth was only 1,000 years old. Well, nobody would believe that all those animals evolved in that time, right? Lizards can have to mutate and then randomly mutate again, and it's going to take some time, right? So it's based on, Earth has to be really, really, really old, okay? Or this theory can't work. And so it's based on an old Earth. So they'll say, in order for this to work, the Earth has to be billions of years old in order for this to work, okay? Now here's some of the problems with the old Earth. And what they do is they have a way of seeing how old the fossil is. Okay? One of the ways they do it is what's called a geological chart. And another one is they have a special carbon-14 dating thing. Okay, I'm just going to read a couple of things about these. These are the two main ways that they determine how old fossils are. Okay? And I'm just going to find the page here. And this is going to tell you what the problems with those are. Page 142. Okay, we're going to start with what's called 140, no, sorry. Okay, they have this process that they do with the earth. They can tell how old a rock is. They over time, certain things happen to the rock, and there's a scientific way they can figure out how old it is. So here's how accurate their their system is. This was published in the Journal of Geophysical Research, Volume 73, July 15, 1968. It reported that lava rocks formed in 1800, so that was about 200 years ago, when there was volcanic, they know they have, it happened in Hawaii, there was a big volcano eruption, the lava comes out and then it hardens and makes a rock. And so this rock, they dated with their system, and it showed that the age of the rocks was 160 million to 3 billion years old. So this is the system they use on rocks. And they did it on rocks they knew how old they were, and they used the same system. And rocks they knew were only 200 years old, it said they were 160 million to 3 billion. So this is the system they're using to date the Earth. And they use that on all of our fossils and everything. They say, well, the fossil was found in dirt, and this is how old the dirt is, and so the fossil must be 3 billion years old. Okay? There's another one that they use, another type of system, is called carbon-14. And here's some more live, this they can do on actual creatures. And this they did with living mollusks. Mollusks, it's like a sea creature. Okay? Okay, they were dated, and it said they were 2,300 years old, and they were still alive. Okay? And these are all things that have been published in science magazines. Okay, this isn't just random ideas. Another one they did on a castle that they knew was 787 years old, and their dating system said it was 7,370 years old. Same thing with freshly killed seals. They said the seals were 1,300 years old. And dead seals that they had mummified for 30 years, they said were 4,600 years old. And this is all published in science magazines, and this is the system that they use to test how old the Earth is. So does that seem very accurate? No. Okay, and there's one other thing they use, and it's called the geological table, and I'm just going to turn to it, page 142. Okay, and if you're going to, when you start learning about evolution, you're going to see this. I'm going to show you a picture of it here. This is going to be very common. You're going to see this. It looks like this. It's got fossils on one side and dirt on the other. See that? Okay. Fossils on one side and dirt on the other. Okay. See this? Okay. This is extremely going to be in any evolution textbook. What they've done is they've figured the Earth over a period of time has built up these layers. You know, when you look at in a canyon and you look at the side, you see all the layers. Well, they say, well, those have built up over all the years of the Earth's history. Okay? And so fossils, if they can figure out how old the layers are, then, you know, the fossils, you can tell how old the fossils are by what layer they find them in, right? So they determined, so what they did, they had to date these layers and put them in an order. So they created this chart, which does not exist anywhere in the world that you find dirt layers in that order. Nowhere. Okay, that's the first problem. The second problem is we already experienced their dating system, how they figure out how old the dirt is. We already know that that's kind of messed up. Okay? And the third thing is that in order for layers to be made so exact, where you have a line, like you have a layer and then a line, and a new layer, and a new layer, that doesn't happen over time. That shows that things happen rapidly. Like tragic events, like lava flowing, and then it gets hard, and it creates a layer, right? Does that make sense? But over time, what happens? You just slowly build up, you slowly build up. But you don't create layers, right? And so one of the things that we're going to find when we look at the creation story and things that have happened in the Bible, we see the earth being shaped very quickly, very instantly, and things happening. Okay? No? Okay, so this is the table. So what they did is they created these layers, first of all, and then they took fossils, and because of their theory of evolution that started with little things and grew up, they just put them in an order that made sense. So you start with the little guys at the bottom, right? They must be in the old layers. And as you move along, you get bigger and bigger items, right?
Okay? Nope, because life started very small, they say, right? In evolution, it started, so in long time ago in the earth, in these layers, you find the little guys, right? And so what they do is they determine, nowadays, they just, if they find this kind of, they find out what kind of earth, and they determine how old the fossil is. But now they just look at the fossil and say, well, that's how old the dirt is. Because the fossil was found in the dirt, and we know how old the fossils are. These fossils began billions of years ago. So, let me ask you something. If you wanted to sell a pig, okay? I'm going to build a scale here. There's my scale. And I got a pig here. Okay, here's my pig. Now, in order to sell my pig, I have to know how much it weighs, because you sell them by the pound. Okay, so I go out and I find a rock. Okay? I find a rock that balances the pig. Okay? I got a rock. So I take the rock, and I hold it, and I feel it, and I think, wow, that's about a 20-pound rock. This is a 20-pound rock. About 20 pounds, I'm guessing. So that means that my pig has to be 20 pounds, right? So to say now that this pig is absolutely 100% 20 pounds, do you think I'm crazy? And what if I told you that, well, based on the pig being 20 pounds, I can now tell you that this rock is absolutely 100% 20 pounds. Does that seem even crazier? Well, that's what they're doing with the geological table. They don't really know how old the earth is, and they don't really know how old the fossils are, but they use each of them to tell them how old the other one is. Does that seem crazy to you?
Yeah.
That seems crazy.
To weigh the fossil on the exact same.
What's that,
bud? So if they're doing that, then they're practically just bringing more dirt until they're the same.
That's
weight.
The idea, bud. And they're not really measuring the fossil by weight. They're using those other methods. They can test the dirt and supposedly to say how old it is. So this is what all of evolution is based on, you guys. Okay, now we're not going to get into this in detail. If you really like this stuff, you can get books like this and read all about it. Okay, we're just going to kind of give you a broad picture today. Okay? All right. So, what else is a problem for evolution? The Big Bang Theory that Maddie mentioned. Okay? It's called the Big Bang Theory. Now again, it's supposed to be a theory, but they've taken it as fact. But they say initially what started evolution was a big bang, an explosion. Now let me ask you something. When you blow something up, does it create life?
No.
What does it do? It destroys life. Okay, what if I gave you all the right parts to start with? Okay, like let's say I gave you all the parts to a washing machine. Okay? I took them all apart and I gave you every part individually, and we strap that to dynamite, and we blow it up. How many times would I have to do that before eventually it actually turns into a washing machine by doing that? Like at some point it's going to work, right? I mean, there's a slight chance if I just keep blowing that thing up, eventually it's going to turn into a washing machine. Functioning, you plug it in, it works, hot, dry. No? Well, I would agree with you. But all of evolution is based on a Big Bang. And nobody's ever created anything by creating Big Bangs. Now, if that Big Bang, you see, part of the reason why there are some things that support the Big Bang Theory, things like space seems to be expanding. Everything in the universe like seems to be slowly moving away. Like there's something that happened centrally and started this movement. So that's part of the theory, is that everything is expanding in the universe. So there must have been an initial force that started that. But what could it have been instead of a big explosion?
God.
And how did he do that? Who knows the Genesis story? What did he do in Genesis 1?
Say words.
He spoke the words and it came to life. And so there may have been a big bang, but it wasn't the kind of big bang that we think of when we think of an explosion. It was an explosion of God's voice calling things into being. And now that That, done with the hands of a creator, could have created life. But an explosion, probably not. Yeah?
Why do they think there was like a big explosion? Like, what makes them think that?
Well, because of one of the reasons, like I said, like everything in the universe is expanding slowly. And so it's like something started that initial, what started that force? Like when an explosion, everything's moving away from the where the explosion happened, right? Okay? So there is some reason to support it. But to think that life started from an explosion doesn't have a lot of validity to it. Okay? And the final point is this. It's called something from nothing. What triggered the Big Bang? If there wasn't anything, what started it? Who lit the fuse? You can't create something when you've got nothing. Except as the Bible tells us that God was able to do that.
Because God was always there.
That's right. All right, now we're going to look at...
Like, it's kind of like a thing that there's no end.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we'll get into that in a few minutes. Okay. All right. So those are the problems. So when you go to school and you learn about evolution, it's okay to learn about evolution. And there's some things that make sense, and there's mutations are real, and you can learn about all these things. You can just keep in mind there are some serious problems there. And I think by the time you guys are grown up, I mean, already in the science world, there's so many problems with it that even the scientists are having to face the facts. The problem is when you've written all these school books, you've been teaching kids for years that evolution is fact. How do you reverse that? How do you say, oh, sorry guys, we were wrong about that. Okay, so we're going to look at that next. Did you have something, Sam? Ashley?
So, mutation is like if someone has an autistic baby and then they think that the baby's going to create like a whole new species.
Well, it would be like humans mutating into something other than a human.
Like a fish.
Yeah, like a fish turned into a lizard, like... A fish turns into a weird fish, but it doesn't turn into a lizard. And so the Bible accounts as a God made everything creatively. He just designed them.
It's kind of like how everybody's different. You look a little bit like your dad, a little bit like your mom.
Yeah, those wouldn't be mutations. Those would just be different kinds of mutations.
And if that actually happens,
yeah.
But there's a stuff, you mentioned that happens.
There is. There you go. Maybe they're onto something there. Because it's got big long whiskers, right? Maybe the catfish turned into a cat. You might want to explore that.
If there was a lizard that had a baby that was a fish, the fish would die. If there was a fish that had a lizard, the lizard would die because it's in the water.
All right. So here's the question. Why, this is the next title, why do people believe in evolution? So if this is all true, what in the world are people thinking?
They just want something to
do. Exactly.
Other than God, if they don't believe in God.
If you don't want to believe in God, you got to come up with something, right? We had to come from somewhere. So you need an alternative. It's called an alternative. Or something other than God. You have to have something you can say. You say you don't believe in God, well then where do you think we came from?
I don't know. That's not a very good answer.
Okay? Well, you need to believe. So when you don't believe in God, when you refuse to believe in Him, you don't want to believe in Him, whatever the reason, you got to have another answer. So you got to come up with something. Even if it's far-fetched and crazy, you got to come up with something.
Yeah, but if there's like a fish that turns into a lizard that turns into a dog that turns into whatever, how would that make Earth?
Well, that's a good question. I'll leave that for them to explain to you when you get into it, because it don't make sense to me either. Okay? Well, that's they just say everything in the universe was formed. The fact, the more I talk about it, the more crazy it gets. Okay, the Earth is hanging, you guys, on an invisible axis in space, rotating around the sun. If it was any closer to the sun, we'd melt. If it was any further away, we'd freeze. It's absolutely perfect to sustain life. No other planet in the universe has that. It's got water, it's got air, it's got everything, it's perfect. The light. But that randomly happened from an explosion. Okay? I believe the washing machine long before I believe that our Earth could have been formed. Okay? It only gets crazier the more things, the animals at least, maybe you could somehow reason it. That's a big one. Okay. The second thing here is we're going to look at 1 Corinthians. Eight, 1 and 2. All right, here's another possible reason. All right, let's look it up. Romans. On the big stack of keys, though. Okay, everybody find 1 Corinthians 8, 1 to 2. Okay, Kiwi, we'll get you to read it then in a second when everybody's found it.
Mm-hmm. What I don't get is why people sacrifice food.
Seems crazy, doesn't it? Well, that's a question for another day.
The weirdest thing is why they sacrifice people.
Okay. Hey, Kiwi. All right, we have to stay on course so we can finish this section here, guys. All right, Kiwi. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 to 2. We only solved some of the world's problems today. Not yet. Okay, go ahead and read it, Kiwi.
Now about food sacrificed to idols. We know that we all pray.
Okay, write this down. Knowledge puffs up. Okay, one of the problems is when we think we're getting smarter, we get what's called arrogant or proud. And in the scientific world, they believe they're smarter than the average person, and arrogance builds up in the scientific world. Okay? And they believe that they're basing everything on the facts, even if they haven't really looked at the facts very clearly. But they've been taught about this in school, so they believe it's fact. Maybe that's the problem. They just accept things as fact, and then they get further along, and they've done all this research, and yada, yada, and they've got all this knowledge building up in their head.
What's
that? I don't know what that is. It wasn't me, was it? Did I put that on there? Okay. So it makes you arrogant. And in the scientific world, there is a real problem with arrogance. And people who think they're really something. And so to people like that, to admit that they're wrong, you think that's going to happen? They're just going to dig harder, prove it deeper. Because the worst thing they could do is say that they're wrong. Okay? Exactly. But without God in their lives, they're trying to prove there is no God. So they're not on the humble track. God wants us to be humble. But they're not. That's not the track they're on. And that's what exactly what we're saying. In order for us to say, if I was wrong, you have to be humble.
The one thing about evolution is it proves something's wrong, like the other gods, but then that proves like the other gods.
That's right. So that's the problem, and that's generally the two reasons why people are, you know, why it's become such a big thing. All right, so now we're going to look at evidence for creation. So we can see that the evidence isn't great. So let's... What's that? You can if you want. This is all under the Creator, so it doesn't really matter. Yet. Evidence. Or creation. Okay. So let's see. Is the evidence as crazy for creation? Because if it is, then maybe we shouldn't believe in God, right? So here's the two main things that we have for evidence for creation. Number one is what's called intelligent
design.
Okay? And amazingly, scientists are starting to use this word. They won't necessarily give credit to God yet, but they're saying, man, it's awful amazing how the human body works. Like, it's almost like somebody made it. Intelligent design. Did I not spell that very good for you?
They don't really explain how that a genius or stuff like got there, like how an animal got lungs.
No. So here's a question for you. If you were walking along the street and you saw this marker laying on the ground, would you go, oh my goodness, there must have been a giant explosion. Over millions and billions of years, this thing came from nothing. You would say, well, somebody made that and somebody left it on my floor. But would you ever think that somebody didn't make this?
No.
Would you ever think that somehow it just kind of happened on its own? It's impossible.
If no one created it, probably.
But how could somebody not create it? How could it be here if nobody created it? Is it possible?
Maybe it's not something made.
But then who made it in heaven? Throw it down here. Where did it come from? Somebody had to make it. In heaven or on earth? Somewhere, right? You wouldn't think that for a second. Am I more complicated? Maybe that's not a good example.
I probably think that somebody's
gospel. Is Madison more complicated than this? Maybe, I won't use me as an example because I know what you'll say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Madison more complicated than this marker? Just a little bit. I mean, if she doesn't have the right amount of air to breathe, okay, if she doesn't have blood flowing through her veins from a pump inside her, what's called the heart, that pumps blood in and out, blood that has to go out, has to come back, and the air mixes with that blood, if the right proportions aren't there, she's going to die. Okay? If her lungs don't push properly, they don't function like a lung is supposed to function. The diaphragm job. Thank you. We have an expert in the house.
If
you don't have a brain, you're going to have problems in life, aren't you? You're going to have problems. Your brain, when I do this, I can feel that. Something flies up my finger, up to my brain, and tells me you can feel that. Okay? It's extremely complicated. They still don't know what it is that sends the message to your brain. They know it runs through your nervous system, that runs all over your body, down your spine, little tentacles all over your body, but they don't even know how it works. They can't even figure it out. It's that complicated.
And they can't say that it's true.
They know it works that way, but they don't know how it works. It's beyond understanding at this point. And there are so many things like that in our lives, in this universe. The fact that the earth hangs on an invisible axis, nobody's holding it. It's just spinning perfectly. And it's going around the sun at just the perfect distance.
And it's not going around.
Controlled by this magnetic force that just holds everything just perfectly. If that earth was just a little closer, like we were mercury is, we would be all dead. Okay? Everything means we'd be dead. Let's put it that way. Is that incredible when you start looking at it? And so when you look at how we were designed, how the earth was designed for life, it's so mind-boggling compared to a marker.
If you were too far, and if you were too far away from the sun,
we'd all be in ice cubes right now. Okay? So that is life as we can see it. It's that complicated, it's that incredible. So the evidence that somebody made it is everywhere. Okay, that's number one. Number two is that somebody took credit. In Genesis 1, God said, I did it. Okay? God says he did it. He's told us. We don't have to ask, well, where did it all come from? Who made it? God says, I made it. Right? It's not meant to be a question. So somebody's taking credit. All right. So with those two things, now the question is, well, are there any problems or what makes it hard to believe in creation? Okay? So we'll call these creation problems. Okay. All right. Creation problems. Problem number one. Well, who created God? God is even more complicated than everything we can see. Well, who created him? He's so smarty pants. Hey? Well, he says he was never created. He's always been and will always be. Well, that's a little hard to wrap your mind around, don't you think? You've always been here, you will always be. Okay, you say so. All we can do with that is say, that's how God has explained it. And that's why science has a hard time and they don't want to believe in God. Well, that can't be possible. How could he always have been here? That's impossible. So that is a problem for people to wrap your mind about. But the fact is, there's something that's true, right? Like we are here. I'm standing here, you're standing there. That's the truth. The truth is we came from somewhere. The truth is somebody's taking credit, and that's somebody who's much more complicated than me has said, I've always been here and I will always be, and your puny little brain might not understand that now, and that's okay. Because if I tried to explain it to you, you'd just get more confused. Because you don't understand.
You're finished.
Yes, sorry. That's true. Okay, so here's the question. Who created God? At some point you have faith comes in and says, I just believe what God says about himself is true. Okay? It's like me saying about myself, well, I like to go climb mountains. You can say, I don't believe that. Or you can say, oh, if he says it, I guess it must be true. Even if I can't understand why anybody in the world would want to climb a mountain, sweat, just about kill himself. Okay? That's just what you got to believe, that's what he says. So that's why it's hard for people to accept it. So at some point you have to accept the fact that nobody created God. He's always been here. He'll always be. Now, if I was to try to describe myself to an ant, okay? Now, the ant might have a few problems understanding what I'm trying to explain. When the ant says, I can think for myself, the ant's like, really? I don't believe that. Or if I say, yeah, I can do multiplication. He's like, multiple what? You can do what? Come on. Nobody can do that. Okay? So, yeah. So for me to describe to an ant with his puny little brain and everything, it's probably not going to go real well. It's very similar for us and God. He is so much bigger than us, so much more credible. When he tries to explain himself, there's only so much he can say that we can understand. Yes?
That's kind of like the story about the little boy
asked his mom one time, his mom's pregnant, and he said, "Mom, I don't know about, like, heaven. Like, I kind of like being on earth. I like being able to go to my friend's house sometimes or go to McDonald's every once in a while. And then, I know heaven's going to be great and all, but I don't know what's going to be like at all."
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, it's kind of like when, like, the baby is in your tummy or something. She has everything. She's like, mm-hmm. So she probably, if you tried to explain to her about seeing and smelling and stuff, she probably wouldn't understand. So there's probably lots of things in heaven that
probably can't. There's just so much that God can, he's revealed a bunch about himself in the Bible, but there's just so much that it's just, some things were just kind of like, I don't get it. And that's okay. That's okay. Okay, second thing. The dinosaurs. Where did the dinosaurs come from and where did they go? I don't see anything in the Bible that talks about dinosaurs. Alright, the truth about dinosaurs is that there are some creatures mentioned in the Bible that could very easily be dinosaurs. There's a few spots where they talk about different things, and they could very well be dinosaurs.
But the dinosaurs were alive for thousands of years, and then humans.
Yeah.
But humans were one of the last things that we got made off in 7 days.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that, okay? So the dinosaurs is one of the problems. Okay? Now, I'm going to just share with you one theory, one idea on what has happened to the dinosaurs. One is that God created them. Man lived in a fairly small area of the earth at one time. When we start with Adam and Eve, they don't take up a lot of territory. Right? Okay? There's just the two of them. So, but man started to grow and spread and take over more of the earth.
But that's weird. How did man start to spread when there's only two? And
well, they had children.
The babies can't marry each other.
But they did originally. Oh. I don't know. That seems really weird right now. But that's how it started.
They were practically just all one big family.
We are. You're my brother, Josiah. We're going to have to have counseling to decide after this. It's true, but there's lots of interesting things like that. Okay? But there's actually, the Bible actually records this guy had this guy, and he married so-and-so, and he had this guy. So it actually records the history of people. Okay? Just a minute, guys. Let me just continue here, because I know we can get off track pretty easy, and I just want to make sure we cover everything. So here's one theory that creation science, Christians who are scientists believe is a very realistic possibility. Is that, and actually a lot of the non-Christian scientists believe that the dinosaurs were wiped out by a catastrophe. You know what a catastrophe is? Like a sudden crazy event where the earth gets destroyed almost. Well, does that make sense? That could be very possible.
But if they died by the flood, then every dinosaur underwater would be alive.
So here's, let me just explain this before all the questions come. This is a theory. When you read the account of the flood, it says, you know, the earth was covered in water. And it also says that, well, the wells of the earth, I forget the exact wording, the fountains of the earth came forth, which could be the lava, okay, the volcanic eruption. So there could have been volcanic stuff happening. At the time of the flood, I mean, there's proof, there's evidence that the earth was all one piece, one big puzzle that was together, and that it's moved at some point. There's the possibility that God did that to drain the waters. So there's lots of evidence that the flood was a very significant time where a lot of the dinosaurs may have been killed at that time. And what's interesting about the dinosaurs is, although we know that the dating system for fossils is a little out of whack, the other thing I didn't mention to you with that geological table is they're always finding fossils that are supposed to be really old with fossils that aren't supposed to be that old. And they'll even find the fellow who did this class with me, he brought us and showed us a real picture of a whale fossil, a whale, with its tail down the bottom, head at the top, up and down through all the layers. Okay, so what did he do for millions of years? Sit there on his tail and sway while the layers built up and he just slowly fossilized? No. Another thing that happens with fossils is you can still see the skin on them. Well, how does that happen over millions of years? Because skin deteriorates very quickly when it's... Okay? So you've got... but what happens is you can actually make a fossil extremely fast, with volcanic activity. Or there's, you know, you can fossilize a tree, or you can actually make them relatively fast. But for something to get fossilized with its skin imprinted in the fossil, which they find all the time, it had to happen like immediately, like instant. And what happens is when fossils also often are found with dinosaurs, it's a very famous position where their neck is snapped and they're in like a swimming position. Okay, what would that tell you about what happened to the dinosaur, how it died? Something tragic, fast. And so the scientists, there is a number of scientists who believe that there was destruction on the Earth that killed off the dinosaur. And almost all the fossils are found in some kind of volcanic material, some kind of rock or whatever, okay? So there's all kinds of evidences that would say that it's very possible the time of the flood is the time that the dinosaurs got wiped out. Okay? Man hadn't lived a very long time before that. And it's pretty hard to get a Tyrannosaurus Rex on the Ark from. Okay? And he'd probably eat everybody. So. Yeah, it's very possible that they were even veggie eaters.
And why did they bring on the omnivores?
It could have been just some were too big. Yeah. And God brought the animals to the ark, right? So how do you, you know, you can't say, oh, we're missing a brontosaurus. Somebody go out and get two of them. Okay? So there's lots of proof that would say that the dinosaurs were wiped out. The Bible has a record of a major world catastrophe.
But if some dinosaurs were on Noah's Ark, then wouldn't they survive?
Well, maybe they died later.
And there were some dinosaurs that were on there. Alligators are like a dinosaur creature. There are elephants. There were some big animals that did make it.
How come they think that dragons are real?
That I don't know. I don't know if they have a fossilized dragon. Yeah, Ashley?
Called
Yeah. Yeah, and actually the Bible in the flood account talks about heavenly bodies coming falling to the earth as well. And they actually sometimes find like a heavenly body, like an asteroid material, mixed in with like lava or whatever that's in around the fossils. And so it's very, very likely. So the Bible does talk about all these things that, you know. So in science, you'll hear all this stuff, but they're not necessarily adding it up to say, oh, well, you know, there was the flood, that proves it. You know, I've been hiking on the tops of mountains. You know what I find up there?
What?
Seashells, fossilized. Seashells on the tops of mountains. What does that tell you? The earth was once covered in water. So they'll make up this story. Well, there used to be a big lake here, and you know, over millions and millions of years. Well, how about the earth was covered with water at one point, just like God said it was? That's kind of possible, hey? All right. Yeah.
Well, our garden, our backyard, and I think it was in the backyard of my garden. Anyway, there was a rock, and it kind of had like the marks of a leaf on it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was a fossil. But like, it looks like there's shape of a leaf on
it. Yeah, you can find fossilized leaves, all kinds of things. Well, yeah, Jesse?
If God can create the earth in less than 7 days, how come it took him 40 days and nights to destroy?
Apparently, you'd have to ask him that question. When you go. I don't think he had to. I think that's just what he chose. There's all kinds of really neat explanations that, you know, these Christian scientists, you know, when they study this, that they come up with. But we're just, in order to get through this, we just have a few minutes left here, guys. So the third problem is that in order for the biblical account to be true, it means that the earth has not been here that long. like no more than 10,000 years according to the Bible, because you can follow all the way through all the names of people. So-and-so had so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. So there's a biblical history of people and there's a history of creation, which says it happened in 7 days. Now, there are Christian people who still believe that the earth is older than 10,000 years, the second Sam. Okay? There are Christian people who believe that the earth is very old. Okay? And they believe it based on what they know of, you know, their science knowledge and different things. Okay? And they would say that in the creation account, there's room, that doesn't mean 7 days, like you and I would think of a day. Because there's one verse in the Bible that says, to God, a day is like 1,000 years. So there are Christian people who believe in an old earth, because that's what science seems to say. Well, I'm not sure about that anymore. So we're just going to focus on the possibility of it being, of it only being 10,000 years old for a minute, okay? Now, some people, there are Christians who believe that it's an old earth, but they still believe God made it and everything, and they can reason it out, and that's great for them, okay? So I'm not trying to tell you what to believe. I'm just trying to give you both sides here, okay? Now, what does the Bible say in Genesis 1? It says, God created the first day, there was morning, and there was evening, or night, and that was the first day. On the second day, there was morning, and there was
night.
And that was day two. And God looked at everything he made and it was good. So the fact that God says that, you are stretching it a little bit to say, well, that means 1,000 years or 1,000,000,000 years. Okay? The account says a morning and an evening. So chances are more likely that it is 7 actual days it took God to build it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. If he took 1,000,000,000 years, he took 1,000,000,000 years. But as you can see, it's the science we're using to determine that. So some people try and bring science and the Bible together. And sometimes if science is incorrect, we're trying to prove the Bible and change the Bible based on science. So we have to just be very careful when we take that stance. Okay? But here are some reasons that would lend us to think that there actually is a young earth. Okay, here's a few reasons. Just a second, Maddie. Reason number one is the amount of dust on the moon, called moon dust. When they went and landed on the moon, they built pads for their landing equipment to be prepared to land on 50 feet of dust, because the moon is collecting dust, and they can measure that. And they figured, well, the earth is 50 billion years old, we're going to be a lot of dust, right? They could calculate it. This is how much dust there's going to be, so we got to get these huge landing pads. And when they landed on the moon, how much dust do you think there was? Yeah, a couple inches. Okay? There's one thing that would say, well, the moon maybe hasn't been around that long. Maybe it's only been... In fact, the amount of dust came out to about 10,000 years. Okay? There's another reason. They can measure the sun shrinking. Sun is shrinking, slowly shrinking. You probably can't see it when you look at it, but they have a way of measuring it, that it's shrinking. Okay? Now, if you reverse that, and you take the same rate that it's shrinking, and you try and expand it at that rate, okay? Yeah, and how far away do you think you have to go before that happens? Not that far. Like maybe they've got it in here, but actually, what page is it? Do you want to know exactly?
Will we still be alive by the time the whole sun is gone?
No.
If the sun is gone, it's probably going to be a little cold. I'm not a scientist, so I may not be the right guy to ask.
Are you trying to say that the sun really is shrinking?
No, the sun is shrinking. That's a fact. They can measure how fast it's shrinking. So the question is, how big was it 50,000 years ago? Okay? And here's what they say. Here's what they say.
What?
Okay, so 1 million years ago, okay, 1 million years ago, hold on, 100,000 years ago, the Earth would have been, or the Sun would have been twice as big as it is now. Okay, if you go back 100,000 years. Would have been a little warmer, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay, if you go back 1 million years, life on Earth would have been impossible. If you go back 20 million years, the Sun would have been touching the Earth. Okay? So if you go back 1 billion years, you're going to have problems, don't you think? Okay? So these are just a few of the things that point to a young Earth. Okay, now again, something's in science. You know, has the Earth always been growing at the same, you know, has always been shrinking at the same speed? All those things we don't know. But if you just take the speed it's shrinking now, you reverse it, that's what you end up with. Hey, kiddo. You gotta fly. We're just about done anyway. There'll only be a couple of little pieces you'll miss. Alright? Okay. So there's all kinds, and there's all kinds of things like that, guys, that you can look at. So there's proof, there is a lot of proof that the Earth isn't that old. So it's something to explore if you're interested in that field. Alright. So here's the next question. Is, should we be afraid of science? Okay?
One thing we think we have to learn is that I don't think God's going to let us freeze to death.
He'll probably come
no,
back.
No, I'm then. Sure God has it all figured out.
He's not just going to make the earth run at it. Maybe he'll make another
sun closer. So, I'm sure if the sun isn't going to shrink to the point where it won't sustain life. Because that's the other thing. God has shown us the end. And that's why we don't have to worry. When people are like, the sun is shrinking, the sun is shrinking, we're all going to freeze to death. Ah! You can be like, well, actually, God says this is what the end's going to look like. It's okay. Now, some of the end isn't that nice. There's some stuff that does happen. Okay, but we won't be here probably, so we don't have to worry about it. Okay. So should we be afraid of science with a question mark? Okay. Look up Romans 1, 19 to 20.
Romans
1, verses 19 to 20. Just like I wrote it on the board. Write it in your books. Highlight it in your Bible. This is a good one. Okay, Romans 1, 19 to 20. Creation. We're talking about creation here. Everybody find that one? Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Who's going to read this one for us? Who's ready? Jordy, want to read it? Okay. Hold on, just make sure everybody's got it. Maybe put your Bible up on the table so we can hear you. If you talk under the table, we might not be able to hear you. Hold on. Wait till everybody finds it. You get over here. Romans. Yeah, that's right here. Yeah. Romans is right there. Romans 9:84. Okay, go for it.
The truth about God is that God has made it plain. Ever since the world was created, it has been possible to see the qualities of God that are not seen. I'm talking about the eternal power and the fact that He is God. Those things can be seen in what He has made. So people have no excuse for what they do.
Okay, so science points to God. Because science is a study of God's creation. And the Bible says that from creation we can see God's qualities, what He's like. We can see how powerful He is. We can see He's creative. What's that? It's about God, so it's yellow. Okay? So it gives us Yeah, so we don't need to be afraid of science. There's things that we'll not be able to maybe understand. Or sometimes there's things about God, you know, the Bible say one thing and science seems to say the other. Well, which one do you think will be right in the end? Probably what God says, right? And it's amazing how many things kind of come around. And so we always have to be careful not to put science ahead of God. Science is trying to understand His creation. But it's certainly not something we need to be afraid of. We don't have to be afraid of becoming a scientist or studying science in school. It should point to God. Okay? And that verse kind of talks about that. Yeah?
What is the end going to be like?
We don't have time to talk about that today, but we do later in one of our classes. We are going to talk about that, okay? All right. Another one is that science changes. Okay. Science is always changing. They used to think the earth was flat. For the longest time. Okay, that's what we used to think. Now, was that right? No matter what anybody said or tried to prove, well, the earth is flat because I can walk on it. Okay, whatever your reasons are, it's not flat. It's just so big it feels flat, right? So one day when they figured it out, it's like, oh, everybody's like, are you crazy? Hey, round? They're like, it is so round. You're a woohoo. It's not round. When they were looking for North America, they were scared people were going to sail off the end of the earth.
And they keep doing better.
Exactly, like a big waterfall or what? I don't know. But that's as far as their knowledge had taken them at that point. Yeah.
That would be a punishment. Like they would put you in jail, or
Which would you want to pick? You want to go out the end of the earth? So far. Okay?
They would only be happier then.
Exactly. I mean, so who lives on the other side? All those poor guys. They're upside down all the time. It's got to be crazy. Okay, so.
Well, they didn't know about gravity.
Yeah, maybe. So there's all kinds of things that science is always changing. There's just stuff we don't know. Okay, we don't know how our nerves work. We don't get that. But maybe one day we will, maybe we won't. Okay? So we just have to understand that about science. And scientists want the facts. They're people that, we want to know how this works, why it works, I can prove it. But we can't do that with everything. And thirdly, you can encounter God when you're in creation.
Okay.
They should have, all right. So, here's the thing. When you're in creation, it is God's creation. And when you go into it recognizing that, you can encounter Him there. And one of my favorite things to do is to go out in creation and just talk with God and just look at all that He has made. And it has a huge effect on me every time I go out. I'm just blown away again by how incredible He is. And how this earth, and you see the clouds and the birds flying by, and He's made it all. It puts us in awe of Him. And we have an encounter with Him when we go out to creation and accept that He made it and allow Him to speak to us through it.
It's funny to think that has a place
in
something that
He made. I know, it's crazy, eh? Yeah.
If there was nowhere, we would still be here
because
we
wouldn't
need anything to
put off. Yeah. All right. And here's our last point for today, guys. Here's your last point.